I'm
Please.
Clarissa Black, and you're tuned in to Backyard Pet Talk with Shannon Riley podcast.
Hi, Clarissa. It's so great to have you today. We go back actually quite far. I don't even remember how many years now. I think it was at least 10, but it could be more. I don't even remember back when you were first kind of starting Pets for Vets. And
yes,
then we got to get reacquainted when we were at Pet Professional Guild's Summit. And I'm super excited to have you join us on our podcast today, talking a lot about Pets for Vets and what you do. And I'm happy that you're here and thank you for joining us. What I want to have first is let's talk about your background, because I think that that's important for people to understand. If they understand your background, they'll understand how and why you created Pets for Vets. I think if we just jump into Pets for Vets, it'll lose that authentic reason of how you started it and what it's all about. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. So how far back do you want me to go? Like when I was 4 years old and training my cat?
I know, right? Well, you can, you know, kind of talk about that. And then, you know, just a little, you know, kind of where the passion is. Most of my guests have lifelong passion of pets, or they wouldn't be doing what we do.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So just tell me a little about yourself.
Passionate from when I was a kid. I was always trying to work with my animals and giving them treats and asking them to do things with me, developing that relationship. And I grew up thinking I wanted to be a veterinarian, because at the time those were really your options: be a veterinarian or a marine biologist if you wanted to work with animals. So I went to school. I went to Cornell University for a bachelor's of science, and started with the pre-veterinary track of all of studies. And while I was there, I realized that it's difficult to get into vet school. And the way to set yourself apart is to do different internships. And everybody had experience with the small animal internships. So I decided to go about finding some large animal internships that would make my application different from all the rest of them. And I found an internship working with elephants for one summer. And then I found an internship working with dolphins in Hawaii one summer. And that completely changed my life. I loved both of them, but working with elephants is hard work. Shoveling elephant poop in 115 degree heat is not for the faint of heart. And then when I started working with dolphins, you don't have to clean up any of the poop. It washes away. So that seems, you know, a better trade-off. But what I really discovered that I liked was the relationship building. I liked watching this relationship develop where the animals were participating in their training and their vet care. So voluntary vet care. So I had a little bit of both. I got to still do the vet care, taking care of the animals, but it started this lifelong passion about the relationship that you have with your animal. You spend a lot of time developing that before you really get into the training with the dolphins. And that's a premise that I brought to Pets for Vets. So when I finished that internship, I decided, you know what, that's it for me. I want to be a dolphin trainer. And so when I graduated from Cornell, I moved to Hawaii and worked with dolphins for many years until I ended up moving to California. And California is where Pets for Vets began. And I was asked to do some consulting work on a therapy dog program at a local VA where I was living. And when I was there, one of the visits, I ended up bringing my dog, Bear, to check out what we were doing. And I just saw all of these veterans who felt really connected to him. And Bear was one of those dogs that could figure out how to connect to anyone. And so the veterans would light up when they would see him, and Bear would lay there quietly if that's what they needed on the bed while they pet him. Or he would, you know, put a paw on somebody's leg or stand up and give high fives if he was trying to encourage somebody who was working on mobility. And his superpower was a woo sound. So that sort of chortle woo that, you know, only husky Malamutes are famous for. And he had this one where if you talked to him, he would woo back at you. And so many people felt like he was speaking to them. So they felt seen and heard, and they just had developed this connection with him. And I'm watching all of this, and veterans started asking me if they could take him home. And, you know, this was 15 years ago. And of course, I'm not going to part with my dog, but it was that moment that eureka moment of why is therapy 1 hour or once a week inside the walls of the VA? Why isn't it not 24/7 at home? And at that time, there were only service dog programs, which, you know, took a long time to achieve. So, you know, 2 years of training, $30,000 to $50,000 at the time, and not everybody qualified. So I thought, why can't I use my background as an animal trainer, my understanding with psychology, and sort of this my superpower of really realizing what somebody needs, what it is that a dog needs, and being able to pair them together. and to reduce the stress of getting a new animal, right? A lot of that is you pick the animal because it's cute. It doesn't necessarily fit into your lifestyle. And so then that's when you need the trainer. So I thought I would eliminate all that by finding an animal that would fit into the lifestyle of the veteran and then really encourage these developing bonds through positive reinforcement training, relationship building based on my marine mammal background. And eventually that relationship that they were developing, which was right from the beginning, became known as the super bond.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So you start, like, we met fairly early on when Pets for Vets was still kind of developing, and you had, you know, different charters and things. So where, I mean, how did you really start actual Pets for Vets? So now that's the premise, you know, you've got this super bond, and the super bond's newer from what you had fully at the very beginning. I mean, you've gone through lots of changes over the years, as any successful, you know, nonprofit or business does. You know, you see where your direction is going and you have to kind of course correct sometimes, or you go, oh, this is the winter path, or things like that. So I know you've developed it, because I've known of Pets for Vets for so many years. Okay. How did you really get started? Like, you know, so Bear was this template dog, this where it sparked this idea, but how did you kind of get it started? I mean, did you just do the training? Did you get some friends together? Like, how did that very beginning start of Pets for Vets really go forward?
Yeah, taking me all the way back. But yes, we do change and develop with the times. We are very, we believe in science and watching the science and moving with the science and everything that you have to. You have to move with those changes in order to continue to be successful and offer the best program. And that's what we want to be. But back then, it was me. I decided that this was this eureka moment. And I thought at that time that it would be me. I would just do this as my way of saying thank you and giving back. And I would do it out of my own pocket, or maybe a few donations here and there that were coming into the VA. So I started making connections in my community. And, you know, I would have friends who would drive around with me, but I was the ones who were meeting different rescue groups, going to different shelters, introducing myself, telling them about this idea, that what I was doing. And my very first veterans were from that day at the VA, who had said, can I take him home with me? It was that answer, that question that made, that started my first application. So I had him fill out, I created an application, had him fill all of that out. I went to meet with him, chat with him, really get to know him, find out what it was he was looking for, what he needed, where he was, where he wanted to go with his life, what his expectations were. And I put all of that together. I sort of formulated this idea in my head of what would be a really good fit for him and what he had to offer to a dog. And then I went out to all the different groups that I had created connections with, and I started meeting the different dogs and just kind of meeting them. I didn't have a formal assessment in place that we do have now that I have created. I started meeting dogs and basically offering different stimuli and observing their responses to that stimuli and getting an idea of who the dog was and what it was that dog wanted in their life. And when I found a dog that I thought would be a good fit for this veteran, adopted the dog and brought him to my home. And so Bear was a part of that and part of that training process, and right next to him as we were working on the training. And so I worked on the basics, those foundation behaviors, and also behaviors that were specific to this veteran. He sometimes used a wheelchair. So I was able to get the dogs comfortable with the wheelchair, being able to jump up into the lap, walking next to a wheelchair, all of those different behaviors that were needed, and some other ones that were going to help facilitate the daily life for this particular veteran. So once the training was done and everything was under stimulus control, then we set up a day for him to meet his dog, that moment of almost like that extreme home makeover moment where you get to see the dog for the very first time and have this warm little body there where they lick your face. And we thanked him for his service and delivered an entire welcome package for him. So all the equipment he was going to need to start his life with his new little dog, had the moment, the big reveal moment where he got to meet his dog, and it was love at first sight. Dog came right over, put his paws in his lap and started giving him kisses on his face. And the veteran was absolutely just enamored. And so that was the very first match. And so from there, I continued to do that with veterans that I had met at the VA, until one match I was contacted by CBS. They wanted to do a story on it. And so after they followed that match and did a story on it, then NPR. And of course, from there, donations started coming in and people started asking, how could they do this in our area since no programs like this existed. And that was that moment, like, okay, now I need to write standard operating procedures. I need to put this on paper. I need to teach people how to do this. And then what also precipitated that was, how long ago that was, 15 years ago, Pepsi was doing that Pepsi Refresh Challenge where you could, instead of paying for Super Bowl commercials, they had people write in and submit ideas to that they wanted to do good in their community. And so I signed up for that. I was accepted. And then you have to get people to vote. And there were so many organizations that had lots of people voting. And I was a one woman show at the time. And I somehow managed, to collect this cohort of people who voted consistently every day. And that's such a hard ask for people. And they voted every day. And it took a couple of months. And finally, I won a $50,000 grant. And I used that to expand into my first few chapters across the country. And then just kept going from there. And the rest is history. Now we have 100 trainers across the country and still growing.
I know you have trainers all over, and 100 is awesome compared to one woman show for sure. And I know you're always looking for more trainers and more people involved. Where are the trainers located right now? Do you have them kind of in sections, or are they in all the states, or how is that right now?
Great question. So we have an amazing program where a trainer can be what we call satellite. It can be anywhere in the country. So any trainer that is a positive reinforcement trainer that is interested can apply to be a Pets for Vets trainer. So they don't have to be located in any specific spot. We actually would love to have trainers everywhere. And so then the trainers will offer the program locally to them, because it takes a lot of time to get to know what the veteran is looking for and what they need. And so we don't have trainers in all 50 states, because it is definitely hard to find positive reinforcement trainers in some areas, but definitely still looking. And it is a growing community, which I love, but they can be anywhere across the country.
That is just amazing. And then how, if somebody, say, we have someone listening that is a trainer or a veteran who's like, hey, this could help me. Or maybe somebody who's like, this is a great program and I like to donate to different, groups. How can people get involved? So all the, because you have so many layers. I mean, you have to have the trainers, you have to have the veterans to give the dogs to. And then you also have, you need to keep continuing donations so that you can continue providing this service to people. So how can people get involved with all of those three things?
Absolutely. Great question. So our website is a great place to start. That is www.petsforvets.com. And that is the word F-O-R for, not the number for. But you can go right there. And there are a couple of different locations or places, tabs on the website where trainers, if you're interested, we'd love you to sign up positive reinforcement trainers. You can actually submit a really quick interest form, and we will respond to you pretty quickly and get to know a little bit of your background and your availability to be a part of the program. Veterans, there's also an application right online that you can fill out. You will receive an automated response that we received your application, and then we will reach out to you if the program is offered in your area, and you can check that via your zip code. So you enter your zip code. If we have a trainer who is near you, then you'll be able to fill out that application. And then, of course, donors, again, same place, go to our website, go to the donation page, and every little bit helps. The more donations that we have, the more veterans and dogs, animals that we can help.
So if a trainer is listening and they're like, gosh, this sounds like something I really, I'm passionate about and I would want to try, what are some things that the trainer, they fill out the application and then they get accepted and they're positive force for, they're positive trainers and it's all like a good match. What would they be involved in? Because this is not just a, go pick out any random dog at the shelter and then give it. It's way more involved in that. It's not just here I picked up some dogs from this shelter and I'm going to distribute them to this Navy base or to these veterans homes. Like what are some things that the trainer, would be doing?
And you are absolutely right that this isn't one size fits all, and you can find a really great dog, but there may be some little nuances about what that dog needs and who they are that may not fit with a specific person. So we have to make sure that fitting in who the dog is with who the person is, who the veteran is, so the dog is getting everything that they want, just like the person is getting everything that they need. And that's how we create this super bond. So it really is important to find that right dog, that fit. So any trainer who does come on board with the program and is approved, and you will find find out that there is a lot of training that we offer you. And for those of us who really like that continuing education and going to conferences, some of the stuff that we offer is really, I think, in depth and not something that you find in other places. It's things that can actually help you also in your own private training business with your own clients, but you will have training from us with how to interact with your veteran, how to find out all those questions, how to ask those questions, how to understand what that information, how those answers relate to what they need in a dog, and how that relates to the behaviors and the temperament of a dog in terms of the matching those two together, and then what type of training that veteran's going to need from the dog. And then when you look, go search for the dogs, we teach you how to do that as well. And so we have a whole assessment process where you're asking the dog who they are, and we're building this behavior profile of the animal. And then we're looking to see, does that fit with what this veteran has to offer? Is this dog going to get everything that they need? Are they going to be mentally happy and healthy with what they, with who this person is? And that's what we want. We want both sides of the equation to like exactly who the other one is. And that's how you really create this super bond and this really strong connection right from the very beginning. So I like to look at the superpowers of the dogs, those little behaviors that, you know, each of our dogs has something unique that they do that makes them special or quirky. And you want to match that up with who the person is and how they interact and relate with dogs. So we will teach our trainers all of that. They get mentored by me through at least their first two matches. So they're never out there on their own, but it's a lot of really wonderful information that helps in a variety of ways. And then you're working as matches and you get to feel good about making a difference for a veteran and an animal.
That is awesome. How long does it typically take? And I know that this varies, so that's not going to be a finite, like, yeah, this is a 6-week process or a, you know, 6-month process, mm-hmm. But you've been doing this now a long time. So you kind of get an idea of a general, knowing that it might be a faster process or a longer process, depending on the dog, the veteran, and, you know, everything that's going on. But about how long is the process from the time a trainer meets, I shouldn't say, the trainer has to meet with the veteran, obviously, first to find out what that wants. But from the time, I guess the whole process, from when they first meet, then you have to find the dog, and then, you know, the match, which I know this changes too, because the shelters only have certain dogs, certain times, and finding all of those things. And there are some nuances that can make this, you know, change. But on average, what would you say your matches go from the time they meet till the match?
And as you said, the word that every animal trainer, anybody who works with animals, the answer is always, it depends. Yes, you're absolutely right. Because you do have variations in people and animals and all of that. I would say an average is around 6 months, pushing towards that year mark. Again, it depends on the animals in the shelter. I think the easier part is to spend that time with your client. It depends on how quickly they're responding and getting through the different projects and things that we have for them to get them prepared and ready to have a dog. So if they're moving quickly, that piece can move more quickly. When looking for the dog, that's kind of the slow part. It takes a little while to find the right dog that fits your client. So you're looking for that really good dog that has those little nuances that really match up with your client. And as you mentioned, that's the variability that we can't control. So different factors have affected that. Sometimes there's a big influx of animals and you have a big choice of that. And sometimes you live in an area where there are not quite that many animals. So that part really does depend. It can take the longest. If we're working with a pet dog, that training period is a finite period of time. It's generally around 3 months of training to get everything in. There may be some additional things if you're training more novel behaviors or behaviors to mitigate daily challenges. It could take a little bit longer than that. And then you are preparing the final preparations for your client and making the placement. So, you know, 6 months to a year, depending on all of those factors and the ebb and flow of communication.
That's awesome. Now, something you've mentioned quite a few times, and some people who are listening might be going, gosh, she keeps talking about this super bond thing. Like, what is super bond? And I know, because I've known you for a long time, this is not newer, like right this year, but you've been kind of developing the whole idea of a super bond over time. So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what are you talking about so that people who are listening understand, why is she talking about this super bond? I don't understand that. Tell us a little bit about super bond.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if I would take it all the way back, it goes back to my experience as a marine mammal trainer. And part of that training is you really do have to develop a relationship with the animals. They have to want to work with you. You don't have any way to make a marine mammal, a dolphin, do what you want them to do. They have to want to. So you have to create this relationship that's based on trust and mutual respect. And you spend a lot of time, you know, enhancing that relationship, thinking about enrichment ideas, how to be novel, reading body language so that you can tell, oh, no, he's not interested in doing that today, but I know I can do this today. I can ask for this. And so really developing that symbiotic dance, that dialogue between you and the animal that you're working with, your learner. And so that was where I developed or started the development of this idea of the super bond, because that connection was so important. And it was a connection that I had with my dog Bear. We had that same sort of symbiotic dance. You know, I could look at him and I would know exactly, you know, what he needed from me. And I think vice versa, he would look at me and he would know what I needed. And of course, that's, you know, my perception of all of that. But that relationship that I had with him is what I wanted to give to the veterans that first day. And so that very first day when those veterans were experiencing, you know, the woo or the high five, they were seeing a behavior that internally they connected with, a behavior they connected with, that they felt that they had this relationship or a special connection with Bear. And he was very good at making you feel that way. So whether it was that paw on a leg where a veteran felt connected, like, oh, you know, he's interested in my story, I can talk to him, or the woo, when a veteran would look at him, oh my gosh, he sees me, I feel seen, I feel heard, we're speaking, we're having a conversation, or just laying there feeling that comfort. So each of these pieces are different ways that people can feel connected to their animal. And I sort of took all of that together and figured out that even if you have the best dog, right, that dog that we all say is perfect, that little behavior profile that would be perfect, or bomb proof, or all those words, all those things that, you know, people call that profile, that wasn't enough. There had to be this little piece, this connective piece that the dog was the dog's superpower, this thing that a dog did that was their superpower. And the human had to perceive, view, observe, feel that piece as love, as the way that they would connect with an animal. And so that was what I really highlighted and wanted to enhance and was looking for when I was making these connections. And when you hit that piece and you find it, that's when you create this super bond. And the super bond is that the animal and the person are so connected and in tune to each other that they can pick up on what each other needs. And so they reinforce it, right? That little paw on the leg, the dog automatically does it. The human likes it. So they pet, connect. The dog likes that connection, continues to do the paw. And it's just this, you know, symbiotic evolution of behavior that doesn't require training, right? It's not a behavior that has to be maintained or reinforced. It's self-reinforcing. And that's that super bond. So it becomes just a very organic process when you hit it just right. And that's the part that we teach you. We teach you how to figure that out through working with your client and working with the animals.
Yeah. Finding that sweet spot, you know, and as you're talking about, you know, this for pets, for vets, you know, it really is. If, you know, as dog trainers, you know, it's also something that we want just our everyday client to get. Yes. And when, you know, you do have that super bond, even if you're not a Pets for Vets, you know, if it's just a pet, just mm-hmm. a regular general pet owner, that's where, you know, they don't have as many problem behaviors. They don't have as many, mm-hmm. there's not that constant conflict that sometimes happens when you get the wrong mm-hmm. dog for your, you know, your family or yourself. Yeah. You know, it's such an important thing. If the match is not right, it doesn't mean you can't keep that dog, but it just means that relationship's going to be more work than it is going to be easy. And isn't that true? Like in our own human world, you know, like when we yes. match with those, when we quote unquote match, mm-hmm. with, whether it's a friend right. or a significant other, mm-hmm. they just get you without you having to work that hard. And that's what we mm-hmm. really want in those dogs. And, you know, it's something that, I mean, obviously as Pets for Vets, that's something you have to focus on because it's very specific and it's a very specific training. But I just wish more people even paid attention to that just for their everyday dogs, you know, because yeah. it makes life a little easier. And so many times you come across this dog could be so much happier in another home, but they're in this home. And I mean, we can have that with children. You know, I have three children. They're all three very, very different human beings. And, you know, you don't get a chance to say, I'm going to pick and choose my children, right. but you do have that privilege with a dog. You know, you can say, this is the one that's going to fit my lifestyle better. And then both of you will benefit from that happiness. And that's what I think right. you see with Pets for Vets. When if you don't have that match, you know, and veterans are of all different ranges, just like we were talking about dogs. So it's difficult. Well, even with a veteran, You can have a veteran who has severe PTSD and is afraid of everyone and everything because of their experiences. And then you can have some that have nuances of specific triggers that aren't as much. And you need to find that dog that matches with that person so that you don't accidentally trigger some other, you know, issues that that person has, but you actually are healing rather than hurting. So it's such a beautiful process of what you guys do. I wanted to have you here so I could really show people that one, it's, you need the funds because it's not a like overnight thing. You have people who are, you know, training these dogs and working with these veterans. And I mean, I think that our veterans, very pro veteran and, you know, caring for our veterans. So I think anything we can do after they have fought for our country and done all of these things for us to give back, it's such a great thing. And then we have all these dogs that are, don't have homes. And so it's such a beautiful concept of helping people, but not going and breeding a bunch more dogs to make it happen, but taking dogs who are already needing that love and needing that companionship too. So it's just such a great concept. But I really wanted to have you on here because I think sometimes people might think, oh, well, you know, you meet a veteran one time and they say they want a dog and they want a big dog, you know, small dog, hairy dog, you know, short hair dog, long hair dog. That's what I want. And then I didn't want the misconception to be that the trainer then goes and just scans the shelter and goes, oh, they kind of wanted a lab mix and there's a lab mix. So we're just going to throw it in and throw them together and voila, it's magical.
I mean, Good luck.
it's magical in the fact that it's a very orchestrated, very carefully planned magic, not you know, just throw the spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks kind of magic.
Yes, I like that.
You know, I think that it is magical when that match happens and it is magical when it all works, but it's work too. I mean, it's not like you're just doing this. And so people who are donating also realize like there's a lot that goes on to this. It's, you know, it's not just one, you know, like, because some people who might donate will go, well, gosh, you can get the dogs for free or cheap. And, you know, why do you need all this money to train these? It's because all the training and you need to be able to, you know, buy things for the trainer or for the dog or for the veteran to make that match and all the time that people put in to do all of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you hit it on the head there. It is a carefully orchestrated match. It does take time. It takes time to learn the process. It is not just a one size fits all program. It is not just any dog. We have to find that right dog because it's important. It's important that the dog is getting what they want too, and that they're not, you know, they're, we call it making a deal, right? We want the dog to make a deal and want what they're signing up for when the dog joins the Pets for Vets program. I mean, also we follow our veterans for the lifetime of the match. And so anytime that they need any assistance, whether it's additional training or consultations, or if it's some sort of emergency medical issue that comes up that we're not planning for in life, we want to make sure that we're able to be there for and support our veterans and that it's not a reason why they may need to give up their dog. So we're there forever for our clients from the moment that we meet them to the end of that match. And we usually have our veterans come back for those second dogs. They ask for a second additional dog. And you know, you said something about with clients. When I mentioned earlier that it is something you can use with your clients, I'd like to highlight that because this is something we do special for veterans, for Pets for Vets, and how we match these two together. But it's something that if you're paying attention to that connection and how your human is perceiving that connection, how your human is feeling about it, and you can actually focus your training on enhancing that connection. And if your client feels more connected to their dog, even if there are behavioral problems, there'll be less if they have that bond. But even if there are, you're more likely to be like, oh, but he's so cute. Like, that's a fine, because look at the way that we cuddle and the way that we snuggle. It's fine that he, you know, eats my slippers. That, you know, that's on me. I'll just buy new slippers. But if you're not feeling it, or you're stressed out, or you're frustrated by that, every time, you know, a slipper goes missing, you're getting more and more frustrated. And I think part of that is normalizing finding the right match, because it's not only beneficial for you, it's not selfish, it's actually beneficial for the animal as well, because they deserve to have the life that they want to. So I think it's a really unique way of looking at the human-animal relationship and looking at those superpowers that both of them have, both the veteran and the dog have.
And just like any relationship, and you and I are very similar in this, is that we look at our, you know, dog relationships just like we do human relationships, you know, and there's no perfect person and there's no perfect dog, but sometimes we can still have this perfect match because of our imperfections kind of match up just, you
Yes,
know, just
yes.
right. So, you know, if
Exactly.
you know, don't like, some people really like their dog jumping on them, and then that's just, and they're okay with that. But then other people
Yeah.
think that's the worst thing, and then they hate it. And it's like, okay, how can we make this, or these behaviors, or these just differences? And I have my lab and my Jack Russell, and my lab is Captain. He's my quote unquote perfect dog. You know, he doesn't, I mean, probably other people don't think, but he is. And he's very accommodating, very attuned to me. And then my Jack Russell is very much all about herself. And she's 12, and she's loves me, and she loves the family. Okay. But like, she makes choices, and she's very opinionated about, like, I don't really feel like doing that. And other people do. They're like, God, she's so stubborn, or she's so this. And I'm like, well, I don't want to jump in a cold pool. So if I say, I don't want to go swimming with you, does that make me, you know, stubborn? Or does that make me,
No.
no, I just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Or I have no interest in jumping out of a plane. So does that make me stubborn? Like, it's that relationship. And she will do the things I need her to do if there's
And
something.
I
And I
jump out of the
don't
plane.
think she prefers, but she's just, yeah, not going to jump out of a plane. Like, you know, and it's like, and that's okay, because that's our differences that make us all. I mean, if we were all the same, life would be just way too boring, too.
But that's the important thing. It's meeting the animal where they're at. Who is the animal in front of you? Who is your learner? And so my goal with Pets for Vets and with any, you know, animal human I am working with is to enhance the superpowers of the animal, of my learner. So I'm not looking to, you know, we all say as trainers, we can train a behavior, but that doesn't mean that that is who that animal is. You don't want to be fitting a square peg into a round hole. You want to look at the animal and say, okay, what does this animal want? What are they good at? So you have a dog that, you know, likes eye contact, then I'm going to work on, you know, enhancing that superpower for a connection versus finding the dog that, you know, maybe fits and checks some other boxes but doesn't like eye contact, and then I'm training a behavior that now needs to be maintained versus finding something that the animal already likes to do and enhancing that superpower. And so I think it's really important, as you're saying, you don't want to jump into a cold pool. You need to find the dog that wants to do what we have to offer.
Exactly. And that's just that. I mean, it's just so great. And I hope that, you know, this isn't just help our listeners see like what Pets for Vets does, but really makes them look at their own dogs, you know, or if they're a
Yes.
trainer and they're really trying to figure out what's this human animal bond thing, because both of you and I are both passionate about that, is,
Yes.
oh, that is something that I really, you know, oh, I got to look at my dog in a different perspective, you know.
Yes.
So I'm
I would ask
super.
everybody to look at their dogs today and really think about it. Look at your dog. What is your dog's superpower? And how do you perceive that connection that you have? What is it that your dog does that you really love that makes you feel connected to your dog? Enhance that.
Perfect. Exactly. So we could talk forever. I'm super happy you
Yes.
were able to make this. But as we wrap up, just because we've talked about so many things, I don't want to overwhelm our listeners, but is there anything that you would like to take away? Like, if there's any other little message you would like to let listeners know, whether it's about Pets for Vets or the super bond or anything that you'd kind of like them to know.
So I appreciate everything today and that you really want to get the word about Pets for Vets out there. I think the one of the things that I love for people to know about Pets for Vets is those success stories. And I could talk about those for days and we don't have time for all of that, but that's a thing you could check out on the Pets for Vets website. And I think they're so powerful and amazing when you hear about veterans who are, you know, maybe couldn't turn the lights out and are now turning the lights out or taking walks or going places. But the really most profound ones I hear over and over that what they lose in their time of service really is sort of humanity, right? The ability to love and to empathize with other people, it's gone and it's really hard for them to connect. But through this process and getting a dog and you know, observing their dog, viewing their dog, watching their dog navigate the world. And you know, we all know dogs, animals just navigate with the world with love, right? They're just always unconditionally there for us. And so this connection and able to see this in their dog, they actually absorb it and are able then to reflect that back out into the world and have those relationships again, where they're, you know, meeting people, being able to get married and have those families that they weren't able to before having a dog that they were able to connect to and love.
Dogs are so healing. It's just so amazing. So, well, thank you so much for joining us. And we will make sure the link for Pets for Vets is here so that people can find it. And I really appreciate you taking your time to share all this with us, because it's so important. And I just hoping to spread the word. So eventually you have trainers in every state, and you have trainers so you can, all these veterans who have these needs, we can start helping them, because it's just, it's such a great bond that, and dogs just can do such amazing things. So I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you guys. And check out Pets for Vets. Check out the links. And if you have any, you know, questions, you can email us, or you can email Pets for Vets. And we hope that this was helpful, and donate, you know, train, spread the word so that everybody can have a dog if they are a veteran and they need that support. So thank you so much.